ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Communities along the Carolina coast are battening down the hatches and awaiting an onslaught from Hurricane Florence. And late word is that it has now been downgraded to a Category 3 hurricane. It had been Category 4. It still has very powerful winds. In fact, forecasters say it could linger offshore for a day or two, and the outer bands are presenting an ongoing danger across a wide swath of the U.S. East Coast before the storm is expected to come inland over the weekend. Its track now projected to be more to the south than previous estimates. President Trump has signed an executive order today authorizing sanctions against foreigners who meddle in U.S. elections. National Security Advisor John Bolton and National Intelligence Director Dan Coats told reporters today the executive order is evidence that the president is making election security a top priority. On Wall Street right now, the Dow is down 15 points. This is SRN News.
Our weather will be nice for most of the day, but by afternoon we're expecting thunderstorms. Our high today, 89 degrees. This evening, partly cloudy, less rain. Overnight, the low, 76. And for tomorrow, a partly cloudy day is expected and warmer weather. The high tomorrow will be 94 degrees.
Good afternoon and welcome to SWAT Radio. I'm Brad Sykes. I'm here with my good buddy, my battle buddy, Doug McCary from His Light Ministries. Doug, SWAT kicked off today.
Yeah,
kicked off out in Ponte Vedra, kicked off here at the Salem Center.
Two big groups. Really
so
good.
So exciting to see.
A lot of new guys from the radio, guys listening and showing up. So very excited about the guys that came today. And, you know, it's... we might outgrow this room here. I mean, I was looking down there today. We didn't have room for many more at the Salem Center today.
So. It was packed out.
And the same this morning. So we may have to splinter another group off or something. I don't know.
Woody's can get pretty crowded over there out in Ponte Vedra.
It can. And, I mean, you know, when you have 30 guys in there. But it's really good guys. And, you know, it was... today was real. You were there for lunch. I mean, I love the guys sharing. I mean,
well, I was going to say, I know you probably in some ways felt a little rushed to get through what you wanted to get through, but I think good conversation, picking up on what we've been talking about here for the last two or three weeks, and really it's something we probably talk about on a weekly basis, the value of getting together as men with the purpose of opening the scriptures and studying them, so that we can know God and become more like his son.
Yeah.
And I, you know, that's a combination, I believe, of studying his word and being around other brothers who are encouraging and equipping. And
well, and as like you said today in the SWAT meeting, I mean, there and just it's got to be an intentional reaching out to people in the group. It's not going to happen on social media.
It's not going to happen that way.
It's not going to happen via Facebook or email. You just can't go deep in those places. You can't.
No. I mean, it's a matter of what's important to you. And, you know, when you see the turnout that you had, whether that be this morning or this afternoon or tomorrow at Jumping Jack's House of Foods, what time are you guys meeting there? 7 o'clock, is that right?
Where's that?
The Mandarin location?
No, 6:30. We're 6:30 there.
6:30, Jumping Jack's House of Foods in Mandarin.
And tonight at
Eastside Community.
Eastside at 6:30.
At 6:30. And then Friday down in St. Augustine. The point is, yes, you can tune in to SWAT Radio. Yes, you can download our podcast. You can listen to the teaching. But there's a reason guys come to a study. Because, again, you can listen to all sorts of great teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate what you said today in the afternoon group, is it's not about Doug. It's about Jesus. And I think you brought out this truth that John the Baptist didn't talk about himself. He pointed to Christ,
mm-hmm.
the coming Messiah.
He, even Matthew, I was thinking about it as I was doing a recap of Matthew 1 through 14 today. Matthew had one of the greatest conversions in Scripture, if not the greatest. I mean, he or mm-hmm. Paul would probably be rivaling as far as, you know, to go from this extreme, the most hated person there to.
Right.
And when he shares his testimony, it's one verse in Matthew 9. I mean, it's like, I was sitting at the table, Jesus said, follow me, and I followed him. Kind of, that's all he says.
Boom, yeah.
And I've said this when I was teaching through that section, that if he was around today, Barnes & Noble or, you know, a Word Publishing or somebody to have a 500-page book about his life.
Be a movie.
How he connected with the Romans, you know, and was a traitor to his people. And they would do all this. But Matthew says, no, it's about Jesus. And mm-hmm. he made it about Jesus. And so, you know, the thing that we were really stressing today, and Matthew 15 is what we're covering this week. And next week, we're going to be talking about, we're probably going to review, like I did today, next week on the radio, Matthew 1 through 14 with a lead in to the Matthew 15 part. But wouldn't that, it was good for me to go back and review that, just to see the grace, what I call the thread of grace through Matthew's gospel, from Matthew 1 all the way through 14, how he weaves it in and out of these different places. And man, we need that message. Now, I was sharing with you about a pastor that we know, a leader, not just a pastor. I think he was a seminary guy, but he was going around the country, and I just found out today that he's no longer, he stepped down from ministry because of moral failure with three other people that were involved in other separate issues.
That out of the same seminary?
Or? Well, no, different seminaries, but one of them was Southern, Moeller's place up there. And, you know, it's happening a lot. A lot of it's tied into the Me Too movement, but the bottom line is we're flawed. And without accountability, without battle buddies, without people there that we can talk to. And that's what the whole essence of the first half hour. We spent a half hour today in SWAT talking about that issue.
Well, and I jotted down a couple of things, one in particular that stood out, and I think it dovetails into what you're talking about, is the idea that you were talking about the genealogy, you know, in the beginning of Matthew. And he kind of goes through each person, and a lot of those people are not people you would look at and go, man, they're going to do great things for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we tend to look at our own abilities or inabilities as to what impact we're going to have. And I've said this before. I don't know where I heard it, but I think we spend more time trying to make an impression rather than trying to make an impact. You know, and I think that's a tendency is to kind of look at ourselves in light of other people as opposed to looking at the power of God in and through us.
Well, and even what I was saying about that one guy that you and I know that had stepped out of ministry, I wish that we could sit with him in a room and remind him of the grace of God, because right now he needs to understand. I know that he may have made bad choices, and there's people that need to be maybe he may need to ask forgiveness for it. There's people that he's probably hurt. But he needs to know that that's why Jesus died.
Yeah.
That's what the message of Matthew was when, you know, when he invited all these people to his house, and the religious leaders are like, wait, what's he doing? And he goes, this is why I came, for people like this.
So I wrote down, God's grace is greater than our failures. That's a great reminder. Because daily we fail. Yeah. You know, either we fail to speak up. You know, somebody's could probably use an encouraging word. Or, you know, I met with somebody the other day who was like kind of guilt-ridden because he felt like he'd missed opportunities with the job that he's at, which ends in about a week or two.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks back and he sees a season of his life where he was walking with the Lord, but he realized he missed lots of opportunities to share Christ. And I think it's good to look back, but don't let those failures define us. Well, we're not defined by what we do or don't do.
Every person God used in the Bible failed on some measure or another. I mean, I think maybe the only one I could think of is Daniel. Is the only one not really specifically mentioned with some kind of failure. I mean, when you look at Noah, he was a drunk. He got drunk, you know, even though he was a righteous man. Job, even though Job had, he had wavering moments, but yet he, it was, what came on Job was not because of those wavering moments, but he wavered sometimes in those moments.
Sure he did.
And
as we do.
He's human. And I was thinking even today as I shared about John the Baptist sitting in a jail cell going, why am I here if Jesus is Messiah? And I think sometimes we have those thoughts that when bad things happen, I mean, think about it. Everybody's praying for Florence. The people in South Carolina are praying that Florence will miss South Carolina. The people in North Carolina are praying that it'll miss North Carolina. I mean, they're not praying that it will go to another state. They're just praying that they would be spared. But if it's coming to one of three states and it doesn't hit you, it's probably going to hit one of the other two. So the point is, these bad things happen, and it really kind of puts us in a dilemma as we think about God. Because if I love what Jim Dennison said, he was sharing about how, imagine going to a doctor, and your one of your children had cancer, and you went to that doctor, and this person could cure him, but instead they chose not to. They had the ability to cure your child. But they didn't. How would you respond to that?
I'd be upset.
You would be unbelievably, and you would have justified anger, right? Because they have the ability. And so in our minds, a lot of times we go, God's all powerful. He's all knowing. And we're asking, we're his kids, we're asking him to spare us. Why will he not spare us this hurricane? Or why will he not spare us this disease or this financial tragedy or whatever? I mean, and we can look back to things like that. We can go back to the Garden of Eden and blame that, the fact that sin's in the world and we live in a broke world. We all know that. But we look at all the things God's done. He raised people from the dead in the New Testament and the Old Testament. He parted the Red Sea, delivered the people of Israel out of Egypt. He did all these miracles. And a lot of times we get angry, you know, when we're the victims and somebody else is spared, and we want to ask God why. And I go to Romans 9, to his sovereignty of, we don't understand how he weaves everything together, but we know that when you look at the way God works in the Bible, there's this unfolding plan that he knows that we don't know unless he reveals it. And a lot of times we don't know till after, right?
Well, I was going to say, it's a mystery. Either when we're in it or when we're going into it, we begin to question, you know, why? Why is this happening? And oftentimes, we may not really know, Doug. I would say I can't think of a trial that I've been through, that I can't look back and see how God was at work and how fruit came out of it. And a lot of times it takes getting through it to look back and see what was happening.
Well, a lot of times we tend to blame people who are going through it. Remember Job's friends? Well, you know, you just need to repent, because God doesn't bring these kind of things on people that are living a right life.
Right.
And, you know, the reason God brought the New York Trade Center tragedy of 9/11 was because of the sinfulness of New York City. I mean, that's the logic behind that. I hope nobody takes that out of context, because I'm being facetious when I say that. When disaster strikes, the worst thing is we can blame the victims themselves. And people have done that. They've gone to people who had cancer. You know, this one pastor said that somebody, one of his friends, was dying from cancer, and people said, well, if you would just repent, God would heal you. Now, think about that for a second. That's a mentality that's out there. When we come back, I really would like to explore this a little further before we get into the rest of the program today.
Yeah, sounds good. Glad you joined us today at SWAT Radio. If you have any questions for us, you can send those to ask at SWATradio.com or give us a call. SWAT Radio.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
SWAT Radio is brought to you on the truth by Evolve Bank and Trust. Evolve offers investment services, trust and mortgage services, physician lending, and equipment finance. Through its affiliates, a network of bankers, trust officers, and mortgage advisors. They offer a wide array of loan products and services and are actively involved in the growth of the communities they serve. Evolve is a nationwide lender providing residential mortgage loans, including conventional, FHA, VA, home equity lines of credit, reverse mortgages, and USDA loans. More information is available by calling Michael Koopman with Evolve Bank and Trust at 727-415-2214. Their web address is www.clearwater.evolve.mortgage. Equal housing lender. All loans subject to credit approval.
Back to SWAT Radio. Brad and Doug here this Wednesday afternoon, and I'm looking at this Florence. Yeah, it's I don't know. It's like Wilmington, headed toward Wilmington.
Yeah, it looks like that's. But again, nobody knows. They're saying this thing. They're calling it the monster, the beast. Saying that it's right now they have waves topping 80 feet.
Is that
I mean
right?
That's huge.
Out in the ocean.
Those are huge waves. But anyway, you know, getting back to what we were talking about, that how people sometimes will actually blame the people who go through it if they had done this right or that right. And we think about God. We think about the enemy whispers into our ear, if God really loved you the way the Bible says and the way you've thought, he wouldn't let you go through this. Or maybe he's not really as powerful as you think he is, which makes him not God at all. He's just something, sound like a good luck charm. But C.S. Lewis wrote a book called A Grief Observed, where he talks about the death of his wife. And he said that the conclusion that I dread is not so there's not a God, but so this is what God's really like. Deceive yourself no longer. In other words, that... you know, this is what God's really like. He allows me to go through this. And we need to remember that God is sovereign and we are finite. And you go back to Romans 9 and you see what Paul tells the people there, that can the pot say to the potter, you know, don't make me this way. And I'm paraphrasing here, you know, or to the clay. In the clay say to the potter, don't make me this way or for this use, or you decide what, how, you know, I want to decide how you use me. He's the potter. He's the one who forms us. He makes us. And he is an infinite God with infinite wisdom. We can't even begin to comprehend that. And by, you know, think about a five-year-old trying to understand calculus 3. It's impossible for their minds to grasp. They don't have the mental ability. In the same way, we can't grasp why certain things happen. So to try to explain why is foolish, I think, to get into that. People go, why did this happen? We can't say those answers necessarily, other than the fact that we can trust in God's character, that he loves us, and we can trust in his power, that he is all-powerful. But we have to be close to him. We have to be in his word. We have to be spending time with him. If you don't know him and don't spend time with him, then when he does speak, you're not going to hear. You know, he says, my sheep hear my voice. If you haven't been hearing the voice of God lately, maybe it's because you've not been listening by spending time with him in his word, asking him, or
you're listening to other voices.
Well, yeah, or like Paul says to the Corinthians, you're trying to listen with a natural ear through the natural scope of life, And these things are spiritually discerned. God has to reveal them to them. And the other thing is that we can't really speculate about God, things we don't know. He reveals some stuff to us in Scripture, but there's a lot of things that we don't get revealed in Scripture. And so in those instances, we have to trust His character. We have to trust His love. You know, in Luke 10, there was an attorney in the Bible, a lawyer, that asked Jesus, said, "Who's my neighbor?" And he's trying to justify his behavior. And Jesus told that story to him about the Good Samaritan. It's one of the most well-known stories probably in the Scriptures. And he doesn't just go through and tell him who his neighbor is, but he lays out the story for the neighbor to grasp. Mm-hmm. I mean, the lawyer to grasp who his neighbor is. Then Jesus said, "Okay, go and do like this guy." Mm. And he tells him. Now, when we go through any kind of crisis, whether it's like Hurricane Harvey or what they're going to experience with Florence, people don't really need logical explanations of what happens. What they need is loving people around them to help pray for them, to walk with them, to say, "Hey, I'm with you in this. It's going to be okay."
Yeah, I think there is a tendency when we're not the ones going through the suffering or the trial to try to explain to those who are in the trial what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is, you're right, much of what is going on is a mystery. It may be revealed at some point. You may see it revealed in your own life. You know, I was just looking at 1 Peter 5, verse 10 says, "After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." And then it says, it kind of closes, puts a little book into it. It says, "To him be dominion forever and ever."
Mm.
The issue I struggle with, Doug, just personally, is a control issue. When things are out of my control, it creates this angst.
Anxiety and angst, yeah.
Absolutely. And here's what it is. I don't know what's going to happen. And I mean, whether you're glued to your weather channel or your screen, seeing where Florence is going to hit, if you're like I was last year when Irma was heading our way, there was anxiety because I couldn't control what that storm was going to do, didn't know where it was going to hit, when it was going to hit, what the impact of the hit was going to be. And that's life, really. You know, I think as a business person, I run my business. I put plans in place, budgets in place. I execute. I formulate. I've got a plan for everything. And in most cases, I kind of know how things are going to kind of play out. God wants us to trust Him.
Yes, He does want us to trust Him. And one of the things He also wants us to do is to pray for those who are affected by tragedy, to pray for those who are going through hardship, just like Paul encouraged people to pray for him. And so as Floridians who have had to endure many hurricanes, we should be able to pray fervently for these brothers and sisters and people up in North Carolina and South Carolina and Virginia, wherever it hits. We should be praying for them that the God of all comfort would provide people to encourage and come alongside them, and that we might even be those people to come alongside and help them up there.
So let's pray for them, but let's pray for opportunities.
Yeah.
That we would advance the gospel.
Yeah.
That we would be His mouthpiece.
Because here's the bottom line is, in any tragedy, no matter what happens, whether it's a personal tragedy, whether it's a national tragedy, the enemy wants to use it to drive you away from God. He can't take your salvation from you. He cannot rip it from you. Once you're adopted into His family, He can't take that away. But what He can do is He can destroy your witness, and He can try to destroy your life. And you have two choices. You can run away from God, or you can run to God. And me, I'm going to choose. It's for me and my house. We're going to run to God.
Well, like what you said today, we were talking about John the Baptist when he's sitting in a prison cell wondering what in the world is going on.
Mm.
If you're Messiah, if you're Jesus, why am I in prison? And he didn't go to his buddies and mm-hmm. gossip about the fact that he was sitting in prison.
Mm.
He wrote to Jesus. He went to the source. You know, and so often, Doug, we don't do that.
No, that was great, wasn't it? I mean, remember going back through that passage. I mean, he sent people to Jesus. And I think, was it you who brought up, or Dave Wilbert brought it up, what he said is that, you know, tell them what you see. He mm-hmm. did all these miracles in front of them and said, tell them what you see and what you hear.
Yeah.
Go back, a changed life. And that's the essence of what we're going to be looking at in Matthew 15 in the coming weeks when we get into that, is that the whole Christian life is about a transformed heart.
Hmm.
If your heart is not transformed, you need to be asking yourself, am I really a follower of Jesus Christ? If I don't have a changed heart, because a changed heart eventually will lead to a changed life. You may not be, we all progress at different time periods and along a different timeline, but that doesn't mean that there shouldn't be something. If you show me something in the biological world, let's say a tree that has not grown in 45 years, what would you say about that tree?
Something's wrong.
Yeah. At the very least, it's sick. Worst case, it's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, we need to remember that God wants us to have a changed heart. And so when we go through these tragedies and crisis, we have opportunities as God's followers to be light, to be encouragement. And remember what we've been talking about this whole week is this idea of coming alongside people that are hurting and encouraging them so that they're not alone and they have hope. Not alone and hope. If you can remember those two things, not alone and hope, as believers, you don't have to fix their problems. You don't have to solve their problems. You don't, but you just come alongside them to let them know they're loved and not alone, and let them know that there's hope, that we will get through this. We will go through this together. We're not going to go through this in isolation.
Well, I hope we, after the break, maybe we can come back and let's reread 2 Corinthians 1, verses 8 through maybe 14, and then verse 20. Doug, this is such a great passage. In fact, 8 through 11, it's almost like this, it's such a perfect outline of when we encounter trials.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that trials are either coming, you're in them, or you're heading out of one, you're heading into one, or you're in one. And you know, Paul really lays out such a great step-by-step as to, you know, here's what's happening. And here's what I need from you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an opportunity for us. People are hurting all around us. We don't have to look that far.
Well, and the Corinthians were hurting, and he's writing this, and right at the beginning of this, the second letter to the Corinthians, he lays out his own pain.
Right.
To say, even before he does that, he says, the reason that we are put in these situations a lot of times is so that we can comfort other people. Because you don't have a lot of depth until you've gone through some pain.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't.
Mm.
If you don't go through any pain, you don't go through any suffering, you're one of the people that have all the answers for everybody else.
Wow.
And boy, once you go through it, you realize, I don't have the answers. All I know is life is hard.
Is God pruning us?
I think so.
Well, you know, we don't like the pruning, but the results are good.
Yeah.
Pruning usually bears fruit.
Well, We need to be very sensitive to the people around us in our lives that are hurting, and understand that we don't want to be like Job's friends. We don't want to come in with all the answers and say, well, if you just do this, this will happen.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to sometimes, like they did right at first. They were silent. They just were there.
Mm-hmm.
It's called a ministry of presence. And so when we come back, Brad, I want to have you read 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 20 again.
Yeah.
All right, and then we'll get into it more.
Perfect. Hey, if you want to join us today, we'd love to hear from you. Call us 1-844-777-7928, or you can call us local at 904-401-1413, swatradio.com.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Hurricane Florence has been downgraded to a Category 3 storm, still extremely dangerous, forecasters are warning. In Charleston, South Carolina, John Tecklenburg says with Florence now expected to veer a little farther to the south, there's no telling where it might go and what dangers it may present.
It may well impact the entire state of South Carolina with copious amounts of rain. And that's our worst concern at this point, is the flooding and the rainfall that we might see this weekend.
And with all the unpredictability, some people who assumed they were relatively safe from Florence have begun boarding up in Georgia. The governor has declared a state of emergency today as well. Uncertainty over the storm's path is causing worry all along the southeastern U.S. coast and even areas farther inland. The U.S. median income is up for a third year in a row, but as Wally Hines reports, it still remains far below the wealthiest countries.
The income of a median U.S. household jumped to $61,372 last year, spurred in part by the number of Americans with full-time jobs. Even so, there are big racial and ethnic disparities. The median income for African-American households is just over $40,000. Asian households is more than double that at over $81,000.
As correspondent Wally Hines reporting, U.S. wholesale prices fell unexpectedly last month for the first time since February of 2017. The analysts say those prices were pulled lower by falling prices for transportation and warehousing services for the most part. A U.N. agency says some 1 million Syrian men, women, and children have been displaced.
These operations displaced over 1 million Syrian men, women, children in under 6 months.
As follows Sergio Pinero of the U.N. Commission of Inquiry making his statement today in New York. More on these stories can be found at townhall.com.
Still accident-free, but there is a disabled vehicle to watch out for on I-95 northbound just beyond Emerson heading toward downtown. Also, congestion on I-95 southbound at the exit at Emerson backed up to beyond US 1 Phillips Highway. And congestion on the East Beltway 295 southbound from Gate Parkway to about Bay Meadows Road. A chance of scattered showers, maybe a thunderstorm through tonight, low 74. Thursday, partly sunny, high 91.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad and Doug here, September 12th, Wednesday afternoon. Glad to be here. And heavy topic this week, you know, a heavy topic to discuss because it's a reality that most of us just don't want to face. And that is, we're going to go through some difficult times in life.
Well, and, I was sharing a little bit at the SWAT group today, Brad, and I had three guys come up afterwards, after it was over, and say, thanks, I needed to hear that because I'm struggling with blank, or I've been dealing with blank. And, we struggle, and we're not made to do it in isolation.
Well, I can think of you and I over the last 2 years, you know, we see each other almost every day. You know, there's hardly a week that goes by when we're not sharing a burden that we're going through or our family's going through.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thankful for that.
Well, it's just helpful to vent it out, isn't it?
Well, I mean, I'm looking at this passage that I'm going to read. And the very first thing that in verse 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, we don't want you to be unaware, brothers. In other words, share your burdens with others. Because what an opportunity it is for us when you share a burden you're going through or your family's going through. You know, I was thinking a couple of weeks ago with Noah, your grandson. That's a burden. You know, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for Noah. I want to pray for Noah's mom and dad, you know, who I know. And it's what an honor it is to be able to do that. And I think Paul looked at people, his brothers, as, hey, I'm going to share this with you because you're going to be blessed by it, and I'm going to be blessed by it.
Mm-hmm. And he even shares in here. He gives us some insight into his own personal view of the burdens that he endured. And he says to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God. And he talks about the power of God in that. And so when you're going through a crisis, no matter what it is that's overwhelming you and God's not giving you the relief that he could give you, I'm reminded of that quote. Remember I quoted it yesterday. Let me see if I can find it real quick from Spurgeon.
Yeah,
remember
you wanted it? I started to write it. So we need patience under pain and hope under depression of spirit. Our God will either make the burden lighter or the back stronger. I think you had a little more to it.
He will diminish the need or, and this is important.
Remind me on the break. I want to write this
or
down.
Or he will increase the supply. In other words, he'll either give you comfort enough to where you can endure the burden. Like Paul recognized that his burden was a thorn given to him so that he would be humble because he had seen such great things. He says he'd seen three visions of heaven. I mean, I can't imagine seeing a vision of heaven, one vision, much less three times doing that. So he says that, you know, God gave him this so to keep him from being puffed up. And this is a real problem for us in this country. We have a vision. If somebody thinks they have a vision, they then go write a book and put it out everywhere, and right. and they become going around lecturing about what heaven's like. Mm-hmm. Paul says, God gave me a thorn so I would not do that.
Well, you even touched on it today about blessed are the poor in spirit, the first beatitude. God wants us to be in a state of humility, not humiliation, but humility, to recognize it's all God. It is all God. You know, in case you're listening and you're listening to this, what I'm about to read, the fact is Paul is sharing his affliction. And if you think that affliction wasn't strong, it says he despaired of life itself. Listen, most of us have probably been there before. We're just like, oh, I don't know how I'm going to go on, you know? So it's a pretty heavy burden right there.
It is. But I love what Paul says to this Corinthian church. And read it, because I then want to go back to something Spurgeon said. Because what Spurgeon, you know, Charles Spurgeon, we've been talking about all week, if you're just tuning in, he really struggled with depression. He had a big meeting where seven people died. He was blamed for it. Shortly after that, his wife gave birth to twins. And then his wife contracted an illness, and she was sick for 20 years. She didn't even get to hear him preach, one of the greatest preachers of all time. And he had gout. He had rheumatoid arthritis. He had a kidney issues, inflammation of the kidneys. He was in a lot of pain all the time. He was so burdened, but yet he continued to be faithful and to trust in the Lord. And I want you to read what Paul says, who struggled. And then I want to read what Spurgeon says, but read this, because this is God's word to us about a man who struggled.
2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 8, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope, that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many." Verse 20. Just drop down a little bit. Verse 20 says, "For all the promises of God find their yes in him. Mm-hmm. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory."
Yeah. You know, when you hear Paul understood the words of Hebrew 12 very, very well. That, you know, when God tests us with endurance, which this is what, when you go through a trial, like Paul's talking about here, the test of your endurance is not because God doubts us, not that he doesn't love us. He delights, according to Hebrews 12, he delights in his children whom he disciplines. He delights in us. And so when he disciplines us with pain or suffering, which that is, you know, a lot of times we view that a lot of time. Discipline doesn't necessarily mean just punishment, Brad. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think that when we talk about discipline, well, it's just punishment. It's not. When you're on a football team or you're a swimmer or you're a golfer, whatever you do and you're competing, you have to discipline your body to be able to do those things. And yes, there's great pains and sacrifice a lot of times to be able to accomplish that goal. Well, is there any greater race than the race of life?
No.
There's nothing. And so when God disciplines us, it deepens us. It makes us more aware of who he is, more open to his spiritual truth. Think about it. I guarantee you, a lot of the new guys that came today, some of them, I know their stories, they're struggling with stuff. And when you struggle with whether it's a medical prognosis or whether it's a job thing or a financial thing or a, you know, just a natural consequence thing that's causing you great pain, you tend to be more open to want to hear God's truth because you don't know what's going on. You can't fix it anymore.
Well, it humbles you.
Yeah, you can't control it. And so I just think what Spurgeon dealt with such a lot of stuff, and he gives us some very wise words when he says, listen, it may be that you suffer from a mental sickness in the form of a depression of spirit where things look very, very dark. Your heart is very heavy. So if this is you, if you're listening, and or you know somebody listening, please send them to the podcast. Let them listen to this because this is so encouraging to me just to know Spurgeon struggled this way, and this was his perspective. When life is like a foggy day, when providence is cloudy and stormy and you are caught in a hurricane, when your soul is sorrowful, you're bruised as a cluster, trodden in the wine press, you're being pressed so hard and you don't know why, yet cling close to God. Never let go of your reverent fear of him. Never. However exceptional and unusual your trial may be, yet with Job, whisper these words, though he slay me, still will I trust him. I mean, that in such whispers like this that are often unheard and unnoticed, God's treasures shine like a warm little light, like a little candle within a cracked jar. Invaluable, this flicker amid the howling winds of night's deep. The light, undaunted, keeps watch over the helpless. It keeps watch through to the morning. The sun may not come up for a few hours. Here amid the waiting hours, the sorrowing have a Savior that they can see a little light, whether it's through Job, whether it's through Paul, whether it's through Spurgeon, whether it's through Brad, whether it's through Doug, or whether it's through you. You may be that little light that people see in the midst of this sorrow going, wow, how can they do it? And only by the grace of God, you say.
You shared a quote, I think it was yesterday or maybe the day before, that God is not going to waste your struggles.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to waste your hardships. You know, there's some, think about that statement, this flickering light that oftentimes we find ourselves just looking for a little flicker of light.
Yeah.
You know who is the source of that light.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it, you mentioned it earlier, when we're in the, when we're being pressed, where do you turn? You know, oftentimes we look horizontally, we turn to others, and there's an element where we need the brotherhood, we need the body of Christ to bear the burdens. But we need to look to Christ.
We do. Just like John the Baptist.
Yeah.
He sent those messengers to Jesus because he wanted to know, are you the one? Do you really, is this what I need? Jesus is not a genie. He's God.
Yeah.
He's God. And
can you still worship him? I think of the Gene Edwards book. Can you worship a God who doesn't meet your expectations?
Yeah.
Anybody got expectations today? Man, most of us do.
Yeah.
Hey, join us this afternoon. We're going to take a quick break. If you want to call us, 1-844-777-7928, swatradio.com.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomnehl.com.
SWAT Radio is brought to you in part by Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. is a full-service sales door and window installation company. Both of the owners are licensed contractors and are involved in the daily operations of the company. All of their trucks are company-owned and fully equipped. Their mission is to provide Jacksonville and the surrounding area with door and window replacement services. To learn more, call 904-701-3667. That's 904-701-DOOR. Or online at www.acedoor.com.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. I'm Brad, here with Doug. Just enjoying this conversation. As often, Doug, you know, I have people ask me, so tell me about SWAT Radio. They haven't tuned in. I said, you know, it's really just Doug and I having a conversation almost every day, but we're seeing it through the lens of Scripture. As we look at life, whatever you got going in your world today, whether you're in the Carolinas looking at a storm headed your way, or you're like our guest who's going to join us in a second, who's out in Texas dealing with a trial of his own, God has something to say about it. Aren't you glad for that, Doug?
Oh, I am glad for that, that God is in control. And
we don't have to depend on our own.
we don't. And, you know, I'm glad we're getting Billy to call in, because we had talked a little bit about it yesterday so people could pray for him. And I was hoping to get him to call in, and Billy's one of those guys that I only see him like once a year, but I was with him yesterday.
Is that because you just want to get all fit?
And, well, it's not just getting fit. It's because he's a warrior. He's a warrior.
Well, you know, I was just thinking about, as we went into our last break, you were talking about, you know, physical fitness. I mean, whether it's you're running a marathon or you're swimming, or like you and I who like to play golf, you know, we get blisters on our hands if we really want to get our game in shape.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to get in good physical shape, you're going to deal with some pain.
Yeah.
Some difficult trials for your body. If we're going to look like Christ, it's going to require a little pain.
It requires some discipline, what we were talking about earlier. And by the way, if you are listening in the Louisiana area, if you are going through...
I said Texas.
No. If you're going through Shreveport, Bossier City, Christ Fit Gym... And it's not just there. I think, and Billy will share where else. Christ Fit Gym is a CrossFit that is from a Christian perspective. And Billy Weatherall is the founder of it. And Billy, glad to have you back on SWAT Radio. How are you, brother? How are you doing?
Well, Doug, I'm doing good now.
You're doing good now. Hey, tell me where Christ Fit is, because you guys are, I know you're in Bossier City, but aren't you in other cities too now?
No, sir. We're just here in Bossier. We're looking to expand. We were trying to do Texas, but it looks like we're going to Oklahoma. So we'll see what happens. I've got a staff on standby. I've actually got a guy that's working with me right now. I'm trying to get him out of here, but just the grooming process to, because it's so much more than a gym. And I just want to make sure that when I send these guys out to battle, that they're equipped for it.
Yes.
Equipped. Billy, this is Brad. By the way, glad to have you back on SWAT Radio. Hey, so when you're talking about equipped, you're really probably talking more spiritually equipped, right?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, absolutely. I want these guys to understand, you know, the cost of doing this. It's not working out. It's not just coming up here, showing up and working out 3-4 times a day. It's so much more than that. Because, I mean, when you take a stand, when you're given a platform, you better believe that Satan's coming after you, because he will do everything that he can to rip you down.
Well, Billy, I shared yesterday about how you and I first met, and you made all of us puke out on that field when you were thinking about starting CrossFit Gym. You hadn't started it. You were just using us as guinea pigs, I think, to get ready. But we were talking about that yesterday, and I'm just so thankful that God gave you this vision and how you've been using it. And so take our listeners into what happened. I'll just say that you signed a contract with the school. It was a kind of an advertising thing. They were trying to get booster money or stuff for the football team and for the football program. You signed a contract to basically have your logo put in the end zone, and it thought everything was good. And then what happened?
Well, yeah, we had a contract, and I was called Thursday morning. No, it was Friday morning. I haven't slept really since then. But I was called Friday morning. They said, hey, look, Bill, man, I got a situation. A near and dear friend of mine called me from the school, and he said, I'm being instructed to paint over the cross at the football field. It's offensive. It's a focal point. You know, it's what do you want me to do? And I told the guy, I said, man, I can't tell you what to do. I said, that's between you and the Lord. I said, but you know what I'm going to do. I got off the phone with him, and I just knew, man. I mean, the Spirit just warned me. Oh, here we go. You know, this is, you know, God is telling me, Billy, I have, you know, I've brought you to where you're at for a moment such as this. And I woke up my wife, and I said, Julie, look, we got a decision here. And I knew what she was going to say. I just wanted to make sure that she was prepared for the battle. So I took a stand. They wanted me to just not make a big deal out of it, take my money back, and, man, hey, it is what it is, Bill. Hey, like, don't make this a big deal. But I did. Because I'm never going to tell you that it's all right to blot out the name of Christ. I'm not going to tell you that it's okay to paint over the cross, because it isn't. I made a stand. I told them it wasn't okay, and got the community behind us, and got the community behind this issue. And man, it was a big deal. It was a really big deal. I mean, I have people calling me, telling me I'm going to ruin the community, how much money this is going to take to fight it. But don't ask me to choose between friends and finances, between Christ. Or don't ask me to choose any, because I'm going to pick Christ every time. But we stood. The board meeting was yesterday, and they had to vote whether or not to put the cross back on the field or to, you know, or we were going to take the next step if they wouldn't.
And you're talking about the school board, right?
Yeah, the school board met, and it was a 12-0 vote to put it back on the field. I couldn't be more proud of our community. I couldn't be more proud of our school board. But, you know, I went home yesterday. I was like, well, Jules, I just told my wife, I just said, well, life is back to normal, but it isn't, you know, because now this has escalated into something bigger. You know, this has taken the gym. I mean, this has been a national deal. I've been on Fox News. I mean, this has turned into be something. What's different about this is the first time, you know, within years that somebody stood up and they fought the enemy. And you know what we did? We hit him right in his teeth. Mm-hmm. And we didn't back down. We didn't run. So now this has started a movement. I told him, I said, man, you've already taken prayer out of school. You've already taken the crosses out of the classroom. You know, you told teachers what they can and can't wear. This is it. I mean, what else are you going to take? If we let them take our logo, man, we've lost everything.
And, and I just want to clarify, too, when you signed this – yeah, they were going out to all businesses. Everybody had an equal opportunity to buy this or have their logo put on there, and you chose to take advantage of it. And it was only after it was already spray painted on the field that they go, oh, we're not going to do that. So this is not something you're trying to push an agenda. I mean, you are.
No, I did it last year. I had the logo on the field last year. I'm on school boards. This is something that we've always done.
Yeah.
This is not pre-planned. I mean, I'm not that smart, Doug. You know what I'm saying? This is a $3,500, you know, advertising budget. This turns probably – this has been million. We've got millions of free advertising. It's been great for us. It's been great for but more importantly, it's been great for just the cause and the fight and just mm-hmm. people who are willing to stand up. And, you know, I tell people I'm just that simple-minded. mm-hmm. where I'm not going to tell you it's okay. And I'm not controlled by money. I'm controlled by the Spirit, Romans 8:5. Those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. And, man, I'm going to stand, and I'm always going to be like this.
Well, I've always appreciated that about you, Billy. And I remember sitting on that field with you. I don't even remember how many years ago. It was a long time ago. How many years was it?
Golly, maybe 2009, 2010, probably.
Yeah. So we're talking almost 9 years, 8 or 9 years ago. This was before you did it, and we were sharing about, you were sharing with me about the concept. And I remember talking to you, and I remember just the wondering about, because you, I mean, you were moving into uncharted territory for you in the sense that, you know, nothing like this that you knew of was going on. I mean, taking a gym concept where people can come in and use the facilities and having all this stuff, but doing it on a donation basis where there's not a required fee up front. Now, after having the benefit of seeing what God has done for the last 8 or 9 years, and now even this, how you just said God gave you all this free advertising with this, reflecting back, Billy, can you just see the incredible way God has taken you through difficult times to strengthen you, to discipline you in the same way you as a drill sergeant used to put those recruits through hard times?
Absolutely. And you know, Doug, I've been through I've been through warfare. I just went back, you know, and I fought in the mountains of Afghanistan. I fought in the streets of Iraq. And I just told these guys, like, man, I was just in a major firefight. I mean, we were just in a major firefight. The cool thing about it is I got to see who really loves Jesus, who's really ready to stand and fight. I mean, I know now. I know the men that are willing to do it. And sometimes in firefights, men just can't stand. Mm-hmm. They don't have what it takes, you know. And I find out who talks the talk and who walks the walk. Because I told my wife, I said, Julie, we walked away from everything for the faith. When we started this gym, we walked away from everything. And I said, I'll do it again. I said, I believe in this so much that I will lose everything for this. And she goes, Billy, I'm with you. You know, this is what God, you know, God called us to die to self daily. I mean, it just everything in my bones, everything in my fiber was telling me we got to stand for this.
Well, Billy, thank you for calling in. I just want to tell you how, one, thankful I am for ChristFit and what you guys do. One, because when I get to come down there, I get to go, you let me share with those people that are there. And I love seeing what you're doing. I love the mentoring. I love everything you do. I'm just so incredibly thankful for God bringing our paths together. And I just continue to pray blessings on ChristFit, and that God will continue to bless you and your wife, protect you. And, you know, just know you got battle buddies here in Florida with you. And there's people praying for you here. So thank you. Tell Mark Rohde that he needs to do one more pull-up and one more push-up, okay?
I got it. I'll make sure. He just left here not too long ago.
No, but really, seriously, Billy, we pray for you, and we love you, brother. Stand firm in the fight and know that we're battle buddies with you, okay?
Yes, sir. Hey, I love and appreciate you, Doug, and thank you, Brad.
See you, Billy.
All right, take care, buddy.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Wow.
Man, what a story. I mean, there it is right there, the idea that the trials are going to come in all sorts of different sizes and flavors and colors. And sometimes we don't know how they're going to turn out.
No.
But we got to make a commitment before we even get into the fight. Listen, there's going to be a battle coming up. Make your decision now.
Yeah.
As for me and my house, we will serve the
Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. Are you going to run to God, or are you going to run away from Him? Mm-hmm. I love what He says. We gave it all up.
Yeah.
When we're following Christ, it's all His.
There's no turning back.
There's no turning back.
Wasn't that a song?
Yeah.
Is that a Michael Davis song?
No turning back. Yeah, I love that. I'll follow Jesus.
That's right. Listen, good to be with you, Doug, this afternoon. Great SWAT Bible studies today. Again, tonight, 6:30, Eastside Community.
And tomorrow, Jumpin' Jack's tomorrow, House of Food
Jumpin'
and Friday.
Jumpin' Jack's, 6:30 a.m.
Yeah.
So 6:30 p.m. tonight, 6:30 a.m. tomorrow.
Yeah.
See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on Past Shows, where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual warriors and spreading His truth.
WTRJ, Orange Park.